Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. You'll find that on page 1033 of the church Bibles. Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to be reading verses 22 to 33. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 23. This passage follows just after Jesus is fed, has miraculously fed 5,000 people who came to listen to him, speaking. And this is immediately following that. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." We'll end our reading there. Please be seated. Be helpful if you could have that passage open in front of you, Matthew 14, 22-23, as we think about that passage this morning. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high. And don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. I'm sure some of you would be able to continue that. Any of you with an interest in football will recognize the first line of "You'll Never Walk Alone," the anthem that is passionately belted out by thousands of Liverpool supporters before every home game. It's the kind of song that could bring a tear to your eye. It uses the metaphor of a storm to describe the troubles and tough situations of life and to encourage us to be brave and strong as we walk through them. The storm metaphor is a very common one. Christian music in particular is flooded with references to storms, used as a picture covering all the different struggles and difficulties that people face in their lives. And it's understandable that Christian songwriters like to use this metaphor, since storms, both real and metaphorical, are frequently found in the Bible as well, such as in the psalm that we had just sung there, Psalm 107. Today, we'll be thinking about one such passage, which is Matthew chapter 14. Here, Jesus' disciples encountered a very real, literal storm. And as we look at this account of their experience and see what Jesus' purpose was in bringing them through it and what they learned from it, we can also consider this as a metaphor, a picture which can help us to understand the tough situations we may face in our lives, or may be facing right now. We're going to look at how Jesus brought his disciples into the storm. Then we'll see how Jesus met them in the storm. And finally, we'll consider how Jesus brought them through the storm. In doing so, I hope that you'll be both challenged and encouraged in thinking about God's purpose for you, his presence with you, and his power to bring you through when you walk through a storm. So let's think firstly about how Jesus brought the disciples into the storm. Jesus brought them into the storm. It could be easy to miss this point if you skim read through the passage. In verse 22, it says, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. The storm the disciples encountered was not an accident. Jesus knew it was going to happen, and he deliberately set things up to happen as they did. He made the disciples get into the boat. He got them to sit off at just the right time so that they'd be caught in the middle of the sea when the winds picked up. He deliberately stayed behind so that he wouldn't be out there with them when the storm began. Jesus was in control of the situation. He knew the storm was coming, and he deliberately directed the disciples into it. And it's so important that we see and understand that, because it stands against a common and serious misconception about the Christian faith. So many people have the mistaken idea that obedience to God results in smooth sailing, an easy, successful life, that things will go well for you. And it would follow from this that any troubles or storms that you face in your life must then be the direct consequences of sin, of disobeying God. But God's word does not promise us smooth sailing. It gives no guarantee that obedience will be rewarded with a trouble-free life. In fact, its message is really the opposite. Jesus tells his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 33, that in this world you will have trouble. He couldn't have made it any clearer than that. When the disciples got into the boat and set off across the Sea of Galilee, they were acting in obedience to God. They encountered the storm because they had obeyed God, because they were in God's will. Contrast that with Jonah in the Old Testament, who was hit by a storm because he was disobeying God, because he was running away, attempting to resist God's will for him. In his case, the purpose of the storm was to confront him over his disobedience and correct him. And certainly, just like Jonah, we need to be confronted and corrected over our sin, areas of our lives where we are resisting God's commands and disobeying him. And to do that, God may allow us to experience the harmful consequences of our sin, so that our eyes will be open to the seriousness of it. But we mustn't make the mistake of thinking that every storm occurs for that reason, and that by obeying God we will steer clear of any difficulties in life. The disciples did exactly what Jesus told them, and it led them straight into the middle of a dangerous, stormy sea. This makes it clear that God does not only use storms in the lives of his people to correct them, but also to perfect them. The whole purpose of leading the disciples into this storm was to help them grow in their faith. One day, Jesus was going to leave them, and he knew that they would have to face many storms during their ministries without having him visibly present with them. And so Jesus leads them into the storm while deliberately removing himself from the situation initially, because they needed to learn to trust in him even though he was not present with them. They needed to understand that Jesus was still in control of everything, even when he seemed to be distant, even when he didn't appear to be acting. They needed to learn to look to him, even though they couldn't see him. And just like the disciples, if you are following Jesus and seeking to obey him, he will lead you into difficult situations, storms as a result, and the purpose of this is just the same too. The storms are there to help you grow, to grow in your faith, to become more dependent on God, to learn to look to him for help in every situation, to remember and believe that he is in control even when you don't see what he's doing. Romans 5, 3-5 tells us that those of us who love and trust in Jesus can be thankful and even rejoice in the middle of storms or sufferings that we face. It says, we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. God has given his people the Holy Spirit, who works in them during the stormy times in their lives to develop in them Christ-like character, to strengthen them to persevere in faithful obedience and trust in the Lord, and to build in them a hope that is strong and unwavering, which will withstand the buffeting of the wind and waves around them. So don't judge your security or your standing with God on the basis of your circumstances. The disciples may have been in a dangerous, frightening situation, but they had been brought there by Jesus himself, and he had a purpose for them being there, which was for their good, to help them grow in their faith. And so there was no better and no safer place for them to be than in the middle of the storm into which Jesus had led them, and through which he would bring them. If you are trusting in Jesus and seeking to obey him and follow his will, then you can use this storm experience of the disciples here to make sense of the difficulties you are facing in your own life. Jesus has brought you there. He knows what you're facing, though you may not see him or feel like it, or feel like he's there. You can know that he is in control and he can care for you. And he will use this storm to help you grow closer to him and to trust him and love him more. Jesus brought them into the storm. Secondly, then, let's see how Jesus met them in the storm. Jesus met them in the storm. When the storm hit, the disciples were in the boat without Jesus. He had stayed behind. The disciples were used to having Jesus with them all the time, visibly and tangibly alongside them, so they could turn to him and seek his guidance and assurance when things looked uncertain. Here they suddenly found themselves facing this trouble on their own. The situation itself would have brought back memories. If you were to look back a few pages in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23 to 27, you would see that they'd previously gone through a dangerous storm in the same place on the Sea of Galilee. That time, Jesus had been in the boat with them, and they had turned to him, and he had calmed the storm. But this time, Jesus wasn't with them. They couldn't turn to him the way they had before. He wasn't there to tell them what to do, or to speak to the wind and waves and calm them like he had done last time. They may have felt abandoned, deserted, and forgotten by Jesus. And don't we often feel like that too? When you're going through hard times in your life, do you ever feel like Jesus has deserted you, like he has forgotten you? Well, if you do, you're certainly not alone. Such feelings are expressed over and over again in the Psalms. For example, Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2 says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" And Psalm 77, verses 7 to 9, "Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion?" Have you ever felt like that? Can you imagine such thoughts going through the minds of the disciples as they struggled against the wind and waves with Jesus nowhere to be seen? Where is Jesus? Does he not know what's happening? Has he forgotten about us? Has he abandoned us to face this storm on our own? How are we going to get through this without him here with us? But Jesus hadn't forgotten them. He hadn't abandoned them. He knew exactly where they were and what was going on. And as we've already considered, it was he who brought them there in the first place. And what was Jesus doing as the disciples were struggling in the storm? Look at verse 23. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Jesus was praying. We aren't told specifically what he was praying for, but is it not likely that during that time he prayed for his disciples? That he was bringing that very situation they were facing before his Father? and pleading to him on their behalf at the very time when their own faith was wavering. I'm sure many of you know very well how encouraging it is when you're going through a difficult time when someone tells you that they're praying for you. How much strength and courage it gives you to know that there are people who know you personally and love you who are bringing your situation before the Lord and pleading with him on your behalf. How much more so should we feel encouraged and strengthened when we realize that Jesus, the Son of God himself, is praying for us. Turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, on page 1137 of the Bible. In this chapter, we see Jesus moments before he is arrested, and just hours before he willingly goes to his death, bearing the judgment of God for the sins of all his people. He is praying to his Father in heaven. He prays for himself, then he prays for his disciples. Then from verse 20, he prays this: "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." In those verses, Jesus is praying for all believers, for all those who would believe in him and place their trust in him, for all those for whom he was about to give his life and face his Father's judgment. Can you count yourself in that number? When Jesus says, "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message," can you say, "That's me, I'm one of them"? If you can, then in these verses you can see that in the moments before he took upon himself the judgment for your sin, Jesus included you in his prayers. He was praying for you. He prays that you would enjoy unity with other believers. He prays that you would be a faithful and effective witness for him. And he prays that you will one day go to be with him in glory. What an incredible thing that is. But it wasn't just a one-off occurrence either. Jesus hasn't stopped praying. Romans 8, verse 34, says, "Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." Jesus is still praying for his people. He is at God's right hand, interceding for them. He's there today doing just that. If you're a believer, if you're trusting in Jesus today, then you can know that Jesus, the Son of God himself, knows your situation. He sees what you're going through, and he is at the right hand of God the Father, pleading with him on your behalf. He's not distant. He has not forgotten you. He sees you, he knows, and he is praying for you. But that's not all he does. Jesus doesn't just stay at a distance praying. He then goes out and meets his disciples in the middle of the storm. Nothing can get in his way. Jesus walks on the stormy water to get to them. The very thing that the disciples feared, the very thing that was the source of the trouble they were in, that was the means through which Jesus came to them, came close to them. We often fear the difficult experiences of life and the things that threaten us, confuse us, the things that expose our weakness and vulnerability, that show us that we are powerless by ourselves. But it is these experiences that Jesus so often uses to meet with his people, to bring himself closer to them, to make his presence and his power known to them in a much deeper way. When you are trusting in Jesus, he will always come to you in the storms of life. In Isaiah 43 and verse 2, God says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." He might not make his presence known to you at the time or in the manner that you expect or think he should, but he will be there. He will be with you. He knows what you need. He knows what needs to be done. He knows what is good for you. Jesus didn't go out and meet his disciples until the point when the boat was being tossed around in the middle of the sea, as far away as possible from any human help. He waited until all other props they might have leant on were removed. He wanted them to realize that he was the only one who could help them, that nothing else was worth trusting in. That was a lesson they needed to learn. Soon they would be tasked with preaching the gospel throughout the world and would encounter all kinds of dangerous situations without Jesus being physically present with them. They needed to learn to trust and look to him only for help and deliverance, even though they couldn't see him. Jesus also knows what you need. He knows what lessons you need to learn. And he will meet with you and deal with you in his time and in his way in order to accomplish those things which he knows are good for you. So trust in him and wait expectantly for him. The disciples didn't recognize Jesus when he first appeared. Surely if they'd been looking for him and trusting him to come to their aid, they would have known him immediately when he appeared. In the midst of your storms, don't give up your hope in Jesus. Don't forget his promise to be with you during those times. Look to him and look for him. Jesus didn't abandon the disciples. He hadn't forgotten them. He was praying for them as they faced the storm, and he went into the storm to meet with them. If you're one of his people, if you're trusting in him alone, then he will be doing just the same for you in every storm experience that you face in life. Jesus met with them in the storm. Finally then, let's consider how Jesus brought them through the storm. Jesus brought them through the storm. There are a couple of things we should notice about how Jesus brings his disciples through this storm. Firstly, we can see that Jesus' words and his instructions are trustworthy. Jesus instructed the disciples in verse 22 to get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. He told them to go to the other side, and so he made sure that they got there. It didn't matter how unlikely it may have seemed or how impossible the task may have felt in the middle of that storm, it was never really in doubt that they would get to the other side. Jesus instructed Peter to come to him on the water. That was an impossible task. Peter had no superpower that allowed him to do that. But having given the instruction, Jesus in his power enabled Peter to accomplish what he in his own strength was powerless to achieve. In your life, God's word is just as powerful and trustworthy as it is shown to be here. God knows the direction he intends your life to take. And just like he ensured the disciples got to the far side of the lake, he will get you to the place he means you to be. You are where you are now because he has got you here. And just like Jesus enabled Peter to walk in the water towards him, so he will also enable you, as you seek to follow, serve, and obey him, to accomplish that which he has set out for you to do for him. Philippians 1 and verse 6 says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." God will not stop working in you and through you. What he starts, he completes. You may fail along the way, like Peter faltered and began to sink, but God will succeed. Of that, we can be certain. And that's because, and this is the second thing we should notice in the passage, everything is accomplished through Jesus. Jesus led the disciples into the storm. Jesus went out to meet them in the storm. Jesus enabled Peter to walk on the water. Jesus rescued Peter when he began to sink. Jesus walked with Peter back to the boat. Jesus caused the storm to cease and brought them to the other side. Jesus did all of it. The disciples only needed to believe him, follow him, look to him, and trust him. It's the same for us. We're in the same boat. We can do nothing for ourselves. We can't foresee the future. We can't really control what happens around us. But our helplessness is even more fundamental and more serious than that. Because the most important thing for every one of us is where we stand before God. And none of us by ourselves are standing in a good place. Because each one of us has failed to measure up to God's standard. We've rejected him, turned away from him, and attempted to live to please only ourselves. And there is nothing we can do to rectify this. We cannot make ourselves acceptable before God. We've all fallen short, and so we deserve to face God's judgment for our rejection of him. We are powerless to change this. We are without hope. Unless we look to Jesus. Jesus has made a way. Jesus has taken upon himself that judgment, so that if you look to him, if you believe in him, then that judgment he faced will have been in your place. And you will be made right with God, perfectly acceptable in his sight, because the righteousness of Jesus has been given to you. If that is true for you, then there is no storm you will face that you need to fear, because you know that Jesus has endured the ultimate storm, the judgment of God for sin, so that you could be saved from it. So if he has done this for you, then there is no other storm that you could face which he will not, through which he will not go with you, and through which he will not bring you. Jesus brought them through the storm. So in closing, we've been looking at the way Jesus dealt with his disciples during this literal storm that they encountered, and how their experience can help us to understand, relate to, and trust wholeheartedly in Jesus ourselves when we face our own storms. We've seen that Jesus brought them into the storm in the first place, that it was his intention for them to face it, because through this experience they were going to grow in their faith and grow closer to him. Likewise for you, if you are following and seeking to obey Jesus in your life, then you can face the difficulties you encounter knowing that he has brought you into those situations, and his intention is for you to grow stronger in your faith and in your knowledge of him and your love for him by trustfully facing those storms and looking only to him to bring you through them. We've seen how, despite how it may have seemed to the disciples at the time, Jesus had not abandoned or forgotten them as they were facing the storm. He knew what was going on. He was praying, and he went out to meet them in a spectacular way. In the same way, if you're one of God's children, then you will never be alone in the storms you face. Jesus knows your situation. He sees you. He is by his Father's side praying for you. And he will meet you in the storm. He will make his presence known to you. So you don't need to try to solve everything yourself, because the truth is you can't. But wait for Jesus. Look for him and look to him. He will be with you, and he will be the strength and help that you need. And we've seen how Jesus brought the disciples through the storm, how his words proved to be powerful and trustworthy, and how through him the storm was overcome and calmed. And Jesus' words are just as trustworthy for you today. So hold on to them. Trust in his promises. Jesus will always stay true to his word, even in the toughest and most chaotic of circumstances. And as we've just considered, Jesus can be trusted because everything is accomplished through him. And that goes far beyond walking on water or calming a storm. Jesus is the only one who can deal with your sin and make you right with God. There's no other way. You can't do it yourself, and there's no one else to look to. This is your greatest problem, more serious and more urgent than any other issue you might be facing now or in the future. And Jesus has already done what is required. Through him, and only him, forgiveness, righteousness, and eternal life with God are possible and will be given to you if you will recognize your helpless situation for what it really is and turn to Jesus, the only one who can turn things around for you. Will you do that today? Look to Jesus, trust in him, follow him, take him as your Savior and your Lord. Let's stand and pray. Father, thank you for this passage, for this storm experience that the disciples went through that day. Thank you that this event has been recorded for us in your word, and for how it shows us so much about who you are, how you relate to your people, and how you're at work in every experience that they go through in their lives. Thank you that you're not a God who is idle, but rather you're active and in control of all things, including every detail of our lives and the things we experience. Thank you that when we know you and are trusting in you, we can be sure that you're at work for our good through everything, even the toughest things that we face. Thank you that you are helping us to grow in our faith and our commitment to you and our love for you. Thank you that you promise to be with your people, that you do not abandon them. Thank you that if we are yours, then we can take comfort and confidence from the truth that Jesus himself is praying, interceding for us, and that he will not leave us to face storms on our own, but he will come into the storm and meet us there. Help us to look to him, to keep our eyes fixed on him at all times, not trusting in ourselves or other people or things to get us through, but trusting completely in him, knowing that he will never leave us and never fail us, even though we turn from him and fail him so many times ourselves. And thank you, Lord, that we can trust you to bring us through the storms of life. Thank you that your promises are sure and certain, that your word will always come true. When we see what Jesus has done, that he has endured the ultimate storm, the judgment of God for sin that he hadn't committed, the sin of his people on their behalf, we realize that if Jesus has done this for his people, then there is no other storm that he will not also overcome for them and bring them through. Help us all to look to Jesus, to understand that we need him, to admit our guilt before him and receive forgiveness from him. And help us to grow in our love for him and to live for him and trust him through every situation and every storm we face in life. Confident that he has brought us there, he is with us, and he will bring us through. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.